Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India.
This is true whether we're looking at a family situation, whether we're looking at a career situation, you know, whether it's a different choice that you make in terms of children, marriage, family, whether it's a different decision that you make in terms of a job. Maybe you're family and everyone you know are doctors, but you want to be a painter. Or everybody that you know is an engineer or a businessman, but you want to be a poet, right? We see the same sort of pressure from society. I'm a very big advocate for not worrying what the neighbors think. Far too many lives are ruined based on wo samne wale kya kahega, padosi kya sochenge. We spend our lives trying to make our neighbors happy, samne wale happy, and at the end of the day, we're miserable. And so I'm a very, very strong proponent of the idea that people who really love you, people who really want the best for you, are going to be happy when you are happy. They will want for you what will make you happy. Those are the only people you should listen to. People who have no real concern about your individual happiness, but just want to stick you in a box, are people you should be polite to everyone, namaste. This brings us back to that, thank you so much for your advice, are you done yet? Right? You can be polite, but thank you. Ho gaya na. And you may want to think about some response. If you get the same question like that over and over and over again, you may want to think of some, you know, kind of catchy response. Not rude, but just enough ki samne wale ko chup karane hai, taki they don't keep harassing you. What's important is your happiness. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people who are married, who made decisions not to have children, just very conscious decisions not to have children. I know a lot of people who have made a conscious decision not to get married, other than those of us, you know, who are sannyasis. But people in the world, not sannyasis, but just based on their own happiness, based on their own life path. Couples who have decided, we don't want children, we're very happy as we are. People who have decided, I don't want to get married, I'm very happy as I am. There's no one box that we all fit in. And there's, you know, kind of general societal norms, as you say. And yeah, I think they make a lot of people happy a lot of the time. But there's a lot of people for whom those norms don't apply. And I think there's also probably a lot of people who went along with the norm but who wish that they hadn't. Your only responsibility is to your capital S self. Your only responsibility is to actually awaken to the truth of who you are. It may be married, it may be unmarried. It may be a mother, it may not be a mother. It may be a doctor, it may be an engineer, it may be through a poet, because none of those are who you are anyway. Those are just different roles. It's still the drama. Oh, you're playing a mother in the drama? Okay. Oh, you're playing a woman who's not a mother in the drama? Okay. Oh, you're playing a wife? Okay. Oh, you're not playing a wife? Okay. They're all just different roles. It's all still the drama. Oh, you're a doctor? Okay. Here's your lines. Oh, you're a poet? Okay. Here's your script. These are just different roles that we play while we discover the truth of who we are. Can you discover it as a mother? Sure. Can you discover it not as a mother? Sure. Can you discover it as a wife or a husband? Of course. Can you discover it not as a husband or wife? Of course. So you need to walk whatever path is going to make it smoothest, easiest, fastest, most powerful for you to discover the truth of who you are. That is your highest duty. It is your highest dharma. Everything else comes after that. So do not let these people try to, you know, convince you otherwise. Stay in what you know is you and is true. And, you know, if it means avoiding some social situations because you know there's just going to be 50 people there telling you you should have a child, go out with friends instead. Do something else instead. Don't keep subjecting yourself to situations where you're just going to be harassed unnecessarily. Find that truth within you. And then live that through whatever role feels the most to you like, this is my dharma. This is how I'm meant to be. Beautiful. Let that be your role for this act of the Leela.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
First of all, I'm so sorry for the struggles you've been having. But remember that the reason we are here, the reason we take birth, the highest possibility of our life is not about having everything go our way. It's not about the success externally. It's not about how much we can manage things to get them to do what we want, how we want. The highest possibility is our own blossoming and unfolding and awareness, consciousness of the truth of who we are. And sometimes that happens best based on somebody's karmic package. Sometimes that's going to happen best in success. Sometimes that's going to happen best in failure. Sometimes it's going to happen best in wealth. Sometimes it's going to happen best in poverty. So don't take failures as though somehow you are doing something wrong. It may be just that right now this is the path that you are meant to be walking, so that you learn your karmic lessons and you blossom. You know, we look at someone who's successful and we think, oh, they must have done good karma. I'm a failure. I must have done bad karma. I must be being punished. But it's not that at all. The universe does not have any kind of subjective values of, oh yeah, wealth is good and poverty is bad and success is good and failure is bad. We've put those labels on. The universe doesn't have that. The universe has rainy seasons and dry seasons and hot seasons and cold seasons. Loves them all. It's not like, oh, it's the dry season, this is the bad season. It's just a season. No value judgment. There are times that apple trees give apples and times they don't. Times the river runs very full, times it's very shallow. The universe doesn't put a value on that. So we should try also not to, just say, okay, this is a time of some struggle, a dry season in my life, you could say. And it reminds me of a beautiful story of this saint who could kiss away leprosy. And so every day the lepers would come and she would kiss their wounds and heal them. But she always left one wound that she didn't kiss. So they always would leave with one remaining gaping wound. And one day, her disciple asked her, Ma, you've got this ability to cure them completely. Why do you leave one wound? And she said, because that one wound keeps them calling out to God. So don't think of yourself as a failure. Think that right now, this is the time I am learning to call out to God. Stop taking the credit for it. You're not the maker of the universe. Right? So the first thing is you need to change how you feel about yourself and your circumstances. You are not the worst person in the world. You are divine. You are beautiful. You are whole. You are complete. And you are perfect. And you need to figure out how to remember that. And so maybe you and your wife can have a beautiful mirroring practice every night before you go to sleep. Sit together, face each other like we did in the practice today, sitting facing each other. And just mirror for each other the truth of each other. You are so generous. You are so kind. You are so compassionate. You are so loving. You are so... Just mirror that for each other. But be honest, because obviously you're husband and wife. You're going to know when the other one is just doing natak. Be real. What do you love about each other? Tell each other. And by the way, this isn't just for the two of them. It's a beautiful practice. And since you love and you trust each other, you've got to believe it, right? But even you could do things that may seem silly, but they have an impact. Literally, like put sticky notes around your house. I am full. I am whole. I am complete. I am divine. I am full. I am whole. I am complete. I am divine. I'm full, I'm whole, I'm complete, I'm divine. And you can't doubt it because the Shastras have told us. This isn't Sadhviji says, this is Shastras say. And it's quite arrogant, actually, to think that somehow you are so special that God has decided to make you the one non-divine being on the planet. Right? Everyone else is divine. But I'm so special that I'm the one God decided not divine. Right? You see the ego's game in that? I'm the one God forgot. I'm the one God took out of the oven half-baked. I'm the one God's playing a trick on. Out of 7 billion people in the earth. I'm the one he's playing a trick on. Tell your ego to just exhale. You're not the one who he decided to take out of the oven unbaked, who he decided he was not going to make divine, who he's playing a trick on. You are. Whole and complete and divine. But your vision is just cloudy right now. So, as you've been here in the retreat, these practices, these are things that clear our vision. And just keep up these practices. Keep meditating. Keep mirroring for each other. Keep reading inspirational books. Keep reminding yourself who you really are. And when they're suffering, just realize, okay, now I'm supposed to be calling out to God. God has missed me. Okay. Beautiful. And this evening when we sit on the banks of Ganga with Pujaswamiji in the ceremony, let go of that time of suffering. Okay. Maybe you can do a swaha to the dry season. Let go of that within you that is co-creating that. Let go of that within you that is suffering from it. Let go of the identity that says, I'm a failure. Let it all go.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
Are there gray areas in the world? Or is everything black or white? I'm not sure there's anything black or white in the world. I mean, I guess the only thing that you could say is, in that way, is the presence of God. Now, of course, that's not black or white. That's just there. No color, every color, totally irrelevant colors, doesn't matter. But the presence of God is the only thing that's definite, non-negotiable, never changing. Otherwise, even things that we think of as definites. So just the other night, we had some young kids here, and I forget what the question was, but I remember saying, so if I take a knife and stab somebody in the heart, is that good or bad? And naturally, they said, bad, bad. And I said, well, what if I'm a doctor? What if the person's having a heart attack? And I'm a cardiac surgeon. And if I don't operate, they're going to die. Then suddenly the kids were like, oh, good, 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 very good. Now, you take something as theoretically black or white as taking a knife and ramming it into someone's chest, and you realize, well, there isn't even black or white with that. Whatever we take, it changes based on time, place, situation, except the presence of God. Even scientifically, I love, those of you who are new to satsang may not know that I love science. And I especially love where science and spirituality overlap. Where science tells us something that spirituality has been telling us for thousands of years, then science discovers it. Suddenly it's true. But my feeling always is it doesn't matter what path people use to access the truth. If they're able to access the spiritual path, wonderful. They have thousands and thousands of years worth of wisdom and truths to guide them on the path. But if people need science, no problem. Science is slowly, slowly catching up and handful of ways to spirituality. And one of the ways that I really love is spiritually we're taught you create your reality, right? We've all heard that said in a variety of different ways. What you see, so becomes. Jase drishti, vasi srishti. As is the sight, so is the creation. Science now has something they call the observer effect. Now, if you go back through the recent history of physics, when I was studying physics in school, there were two types of things. There were waves and there were particles. Particle was matter, mass. A wave was energy. Distinct, separate. Interact as per a variety of different equations, but they are separate. Then suddenly quantum physics started telling us, well, actually, you know, sometimes waves become particles and particles become waves, and there's this fluidity between them. And that was really beautiful. Now they've come up with something they call the observer effect. And that's even farther into the spiritual realm. And the observer effect says, actually, whether it's a particle or a wave depends on who's looking. That actually the act of being observed changes the behavior of particles and waves. I mean, that, think about that from a science perspective for a moment. You are creating your reality. That which we are seeing through our sight, we are creating. There's a lot of other examples I could give you about that, but I won't right now. This is all to say that nothing is black or white. I mean, even the very fundamental building blocks of creation, matter and energy, even they are not so black and white, it turns out. Even they are in a constant state of not only change, but openness. Openness to the one who is watching. But I wouldn't say everything's gray. What I would say is everything is being co-created with us, with the situation, with the time, with the moment, with what is required. All that is unchanging, constant, is God.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation.
So our meditation in the morning, in the evenings, is deep, beautiful, connected. But then during the day, we get pulled into this world of samsara. We were talking last night about maya. And as he said, it's conditioning. It's what we call sanskaras, impressions. This is natural. So first of all, do not feel badly. Do not yell at yourself for having this very natural reaction. You go out in the world impacts you. You go out and you get out of your conscious mind into your subconscious mind. And the subconscious has been programmed, conditioned. So we start on autopilot. What to do? This is where the practice of mindfulness is so powerful. Because you know the experience. You're not asking, how do I have the experience? You're having it. You have it in the morning. You have it at night. It's just a matter of reconnecting to it. By staying mindful, staying conscious, You will stay anchored in that experience. You lose it when you lose the consciousness, lose awareness, lose mindfulness. So just develop some beautiful practices during the day. For example, before you eat anything, before you drink anything, including water. Those are the easy ones. I know people who do it before they turn the ignition into the car, before they walk into a bathroom. Think about something you do a lot during the day, before you pick up your phone. Connect a 3-second inner reconnection to something that you do every day, many times a day. And then it'll become automatic. Then it's just a reconnection. You know, Pooja Swamiji always says when you build a house, in the beginning it takes a long time. You've got to lay all the electrical wires. But once they're laid and you want to turn on a light, turn on a camera, turn on a fan, you just have to plug it in. You don't have to rewire the whole house. In the same way, your meditation time is that time of creating the wiring. And then during the day, just close your eyes for a few moments. A mantra before you eat, a mantra before you drink anything, a mantra before you walk into the bathroom, a mantra before you pick up your phone. I promise the sky will not fall if you answer a call on the 6th ring instead of the 1st ring. Or God forbid you miss it and have to call them back 2 seconds later. Sky will not fall. So just hook a few seconds of something. A few deep breaths, a mantra, a chanting of Om that just reconnects you. And then you'll come up with 20, 25, 30 things during the course of a day in which you're reconnecting. Even if you only do before you eat, before you drink, well, if you add every sip of water you take during the day, you've got your meals, you've got all your water, you're still 10, 15, 20 things in a day. Just reconnect. Reconnect, reconnect, and you'll find that slowly it becomes easier. When you are walking, don't turn your walk from your office to the bathroom or your this room to that room or the car to the office. Don't turn that into a multitasking experience. Most of us are like, oh, okay, I'm walking, let me check my email. First of all, it's really dangerous. That's how you trip and fall and crack your head open, or trip somebody else and crack their head open. But you also end up losing a beautiful opportunity for just mindfulness. Just walk mindfully. Feel your feet upon the earth. Allow your breath to connect with each step, right and left. You can chant Om Brahm with every step, or so hum, something that works nicely with right, left, just reconnect you. So that, you know, you start to park your car purposefully a few blocks away rather than right in front, so you have a few extra minutes of walking meditation before you enter the office or the shopping center or the restaurant where you're meeting friends. As you eat, don't use it as an opportunity to watch TV or to be on your phone. As you eat, allow yourself to be mindful and aware. So you'll find that with making just a few really small changes, nothing that requires hours out of your busy day, you'll be able to stay very deeply connected throughout the day.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation.
Can your guru be someone you've never met, but from whom you've been learning deeply, remotely, and with whom you feel connected to their wisdom and love? Absolutely. The word guru, the Sanskrit word guru, literally means the remover of darkness and the bringer of light. That's what the actual word means, the one who removes the darkness. Now, in Sanatan Dharma, in the Hindu tradition, we don't believe in original sin. We don't believe that who you are is dark and wrong at the core of your being. We believe that who you are at the core is divine, that you've been created of divinity. But we believe in what we call original ignorance, meaning instead of recognizing that who I really am is infinite consciousness, infinite love, infinite wisdom, just infinity, I identify as the body. And when I identify as the body, its size and shape and color, emotions stir, feelings stir about it, comparisons happen. I constantly am wanting more. I'm not the right size or shape or color. I don't have enough. We want leads us into what we call rag and dvesh, likes and dislikes, that which I'm pulling toward me, that which I'm pushing away from me. And all of that leads us to suffering. I mean, how do you feel when you are feeling like you're not enough, like you don't have enough, that you're on the losing side of a competition that you've created in your mind between you and someone else? How does it feel to feel jealous, to feel greedy, to feel angry? Well, these are not pleasant feeling states. It's not like, oh, wow, I can't wait till I'm jealous again. That feels so good. Boy, I can't wait till, you know, I feel again like I'm just a worthless piece of junk because that feels so good. It feels horrible. And so we suffer. Not because we are wrong, but simply because we are ignorant. So simply our thoughts are wrong. Our thought pattern is wrong that says, you are this body, you are the role. On a serious level, you are things that have happened to you. You are the abuse, abandonment, betrayal, lying, cheating that you've experienced. You are the trauma you've been through. Right? We identify with all of that. And then we suffer. So that's the darkness that we talk about when we pray, Asatoma Sadgamaya, Tamsoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. When we say, lead me from falsehood to truth, darkness to light, it's not saying, lead me from this horrible, evil being I am, dark being I am, to being okay. It's leading me from darkness of ignorance, falsehood, an identification with the body that is born and dies. So the guru then is the one who removes that darkness and who shows us the light of ourselves. The guru is the one who allows us to see the light of our self. Do you have to be in the physical presence of the guru? No. Does your guru even have to still be alive? No. Did you ever have to have met your guru? No. Could your guru be a tree? Yes. So the guru is that being who removes the darkness of our ignorance and brings us light. The benefit, though, the benefit of having a guru who, A, is still in their body, and B, in whose presence you're able to be at least sometimes, is that along this beautiful path of being a disciple and having a guru, and it is a beautiful path, by the way. A lot of us, especially from the West, think, no, I'm not going to surrender to anyone. I need full autonomy. And of course, the truth is we've already surrendered. I mean, we've surrendered to our egos and our desires and our false identifications and the advertisements that we see on TV and the influencers we follow on social media who we copy whatever they do. Like, we're already surrendered. We're just surrendered in directions that tend not to bring us to the direction that we need to go. So the path of being a disciple is a path that, on a personal level, I can highly recommend. The dilemma with having a guru who's no longer in their bodies, or who you're never able to be with in person, is the ego doesn't like this idea of surrender. I mean, the ego is happy for you to surrender to the ego. But surrendering to anyone else, it's like that story I was telling about Prahlad and the god and his father. The ego is like that. You're only allowed to surrender to the ego. And so what happens is, as we're walking this path, the ego comes in and says things like, I don't like that instruction the guru just gave. This guru is not nice to me. I want a guru who's going to just tell me, you know, you are perfect, you are wonderful, no need to meditate, no need to pray, just, you know, makes things easier, right? And if you go to the guru and the guru says, kuch nahi karna, kuch mat karo, Not because the core of who you are is divine, but because, yeah, you don't have any psychic issues to work out, no sanskaras, no patterns, no nothing. I'm sure you never get angry. And if you do, I'm sure it's with very good reason. Whoever you're angry at must deserve your anger. Right? I mean, we'd like a guru like that. The ego would. So what happens when we are not in the physical presence of a guru is the ego tends to build and build. And if we're just reading teachings or watching a video of a teaching, it's so easy for the ego to say, yeah, that applies to everybody except me. He definitely or she definitely didn't mean that for me. And if you don't know the guru personally, then it's so easy to say, well, he or she doesn't know me. Obviously, that doesn't pertain to me. And then the ego actually detracts you from the path. So yes, your guru can be anyone you've met, you've never met, still in the body, no longer in the body, a human, not a human. And yet, unless you've really managed to become free of the clutches of your ego, it's a lot easier to have a guru who is in the body and whose presence you're able to be in at least sometimes. Because then the guru is able to metaphorically, not literally, sort of slap you back into shape. I remember when my guru, Pooja Swamiji, told me in the very beginning, been here probably less than a year, he looked at me. I was telling him something that felt very deep and very important and very real. I was upset about something. And I felt very righteous about being upset about it. And of course, I wanted him to tell me that I was fully right in being upset about it. And he looks at me and he says, you're the stupidest smart person I've ever met. It's pretty hard to feel self-righteous after that. And he then proceeded to explain to me in a very loving but clear way that my entire way of thinking about the situation was so twisted and such a product of the workings of my ego. But if I didn't have a guru in the body to whom I could say that, it was very likely that my ego would have just felt very self-righteous in being upset about that. So I recommend having a guru. I recommend, to whatever extent possible, having a guru you can be with at least sometimes. And by the way, this leads us lastly to a question I get asked a lot, which is, can you have two gurus? And the answer is yes, of course. I mean, you could have 100 gurus. There's a beautiful story, I won't go into it in our scriptures, about having so many different elements of nature. Be the gurus, 24 elements of nature, being the gurus. The dilemma is, I'm sorry, was it not 24? Oh. Anyway, the dilemma, of course, is that if you've got so many gurus, we get confused. They teach in different ways. They're all going to the same place. But it's like if I say, okay, let's go for a bath in Ganga. Let's go bathe in Ganga. And we've got a team of, say, 5-10 organizers who are going to take us down for the bath to Ganga. And one says, go right, one says go left, one says go straight, one says upriver, one says downriver, one says the steps, one says the sandy beach, one says the rock. Now, all paths are going to get you to Ganga. Doesn't matter how you get in. But what you would find yourself is not in Ganga, because you're running upstream, downstream, stairs, beach, rock, based on who you're listening to. And it would be a lot easier just to listen to one person and end up in Ganga. But, if your guru is no longer in their body, or if your guru is someone whom you've never met and who it's likely you never will be able to meet, and there is another guru in the body in whose presence you have the opportunity to be, I would say have both. Take the beautiful teachings of the guru you're not able to be with, and allow yourself to learn under, study under, be guided by the one in whose presence you are able to. Yeah, wherever I get the teaching, that is my guru. Well, it's true, and yet, the dilemma with that is a teacher is not the same as a guru. And the easiest way to understand this is you could have the very best oceanography teacher who would teach you everything there is to know about the ocean, everything there is to know about life under the ocean. And you could be an A-plus student to this teacher. And yet when you walk out of class, your clothes will still be dry. With a guru, you're going to learn about the ocean. And when you're done learning about the ocean with the guru, your clothes are going to be dripping wet. Because the guru gives not only the teaching, but the experience. So the guru is not only telling us about peace, telling us about love, telling us about truth, but the guru's giving us the experience of that light.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.